Did you know that God is good all the time? Yes, I know you know it, but do you know it? I'm Dr. Fred. You're listening to another episode of Study, Grow, Know.
Welcome to Study, Grow, Know, where we discuss theology, prophecy, and current political issues from a conservative biblical perspective. Here's your host, Dr. Fred DeRuvo.
Hi, and thank you for joining me. You're listening to Dr. Fred, and this is another episode of Study, Grow, Know. We are in part five of a short series entitled Prayer and Praise. And I started off the top of this hour by asking the question, did you know that God is good all the time? And we've all heard that. We believe it. We certainly give assent to it. We give lip service to it. We get excited about it. Yes, God is good. That's what we say. And how many times have we heard this? And it is usually after God provides an answer to prayer for which we were looking, whether it's healing, financing for this, that, or the other thing, or whatever have you. The truth is that most of us are very willing to exuberantly proclaim just how good God is when we receive such what we think is such a clear response from Him with respect to our requests. I'm not arguing with that at all, by the way. His goodness should be proclaimed. However, I cannot help but look back over my life, and I wonder why there were so many times God only appeared good to me when the answer to a specific request came through that was exactly the thing for which I had prayed. In other words, it pains me a bit to realize that I only considered God truly good when He said yes to my requests. During the times I received a no or a wait, well, I'm not quite so sure He was exactly good then, as far as I thought anyway. I mean, He was okay. He was God, but clearly He wasn't interested in giving me what I wanted. He was more interested in disappointing me or teaching me one of those lessons in patience or something else. So in that sense, it became more difficult to admit and to exuberantly proclaim that God is good. But you know what? It actually bothers me tremendously that I can look back in my life and see those times when I did not consider God good at all. In fact, there were times when I was, to my chagrin, to my shame, to my absolute and abject sinfulness, when I did not consider Him good, when I wasn't on speaking terms with Him. And all of that, of course, was designed to show Him, I'll show God. What absolute garbage, isn't it? Is God good all the time, or only when I receive a response to my request that's in the affirmative? Clearly, whether we think so or not, God is good all the time. It doesn't matter whether we get what we want in prayer. God is good, period. He is holy, period. He is just, period. He is gracious and loving, period. He is always good. Always. These traits or characteristics are part of who God is and how He has revealed Himself to humanity. Now, the Bible tells us that God does not shift. He doesn't change like the shadows. Malachi 3:6, James 1:17, Psalm 102:27, Lamentations 3:22, Habakkuk 1:12. Here's a verse that I tend to forget at times. Numbers 23:12. Let me read it to you. God is not human that He should lie, not a human being that He should change His mind. Does He speak and then not act? Does He promise and not fulfill? Wow. He really doesn't change His mind on anything. Of course, to us, it appears as though He does, as in the case, for instance, of Hezekiah that I mentioned previously in the fourth part of this series. We also mentioned that Hezekiah would have been far better off just simply accepting God's will in the matter of his upcoming death. But instead, he begged God to give him more time on earth. I can't figure that out, frankly. But then again, he was a king and lived a king's life. But I'm sure that he was so excited about getting an extension of life, inside he probably thought, God is so good, not realizing what was about to take place in his life because of those additional 15 years. I recall my sister's life. and the situation that led up to her death, and how I prayed and prayed and prayed that God would raise her up from her deathbed in the hospital. And he said no. And while I could not hear him initially, I was doing my best to put off all kinds of doubts and those thoughts that make us think that God isn't going to do what we want him to do. But he persisted. And he continued to say no to me very gently. I finally got it. I finally submitted myself to his will. Now, was God good for allowing my sister to die, leaving her husband a widower, and with him a young adult son? Was God good taking my sister out of my life, a person I had known all my life, loved, she loved me, we shared so much? Was God good for doing that? Yes, absolutely. There is no doubt in my mind that God was and continues to be good with respect to that decision, as well as all the other decisions that God has made in my life, many of which, when I first encountered them, I didn't like them. I recoiled. I was rebuffed. I was put off. You know, I think of how people who beg God to heal them of this cancer or that one, this illness or that one, and how he has worked, seemingly, through medicine to effect a healing for them. I've seen it happen. I know people that, against all medical odds, are alive today, free of their cancers, ultimately because it was God who worked by allowing the medication, the chemotherapy, the medical professionals, and all the rest to do its job. I know atheists get really riled up when Christians go, "Thank God." But really, that's too bad. They'll unfortunately find out, if they don't change their ways, either before death or afterwards, that God reigns. And we have great minds in this world solely because of God. He sends the rain on the just and the unjust. God gives gifts to all men. He makes people who they are, whether or not they ever use those gifts, those talents, to glorify him deliberately is another situation altogether. But God blesses humanity in spite of our fallenness, our failures, our sinfulness. He blesses us with the richness of his grace through the intelligence, the brilliance of people in the medical field and other fields. And God works through those venues. But I also wonder if sometimes Christians who experience these healings or medical cures sometimes come to a point of starting to believe that God provided the healing because of their faith in the matter, and not because he simply chose to heal according to his will and purposes. I see some whose cancers are in remission and who are living a full life because of it, and I wonder if they are often tempted to think that their quote-unquote faith made them whole or allowed God to heal them. But what about those Christians who die? Jack Kelly. Many of you know him from Grace Through Faith. He's a Christian. He was a Christian. He certainly still is a Christian, even though he's no longer with us. He went to be with the Lord merely a week or so after being told that he had terminal cancer that was in his organs, and doctors said they could do absolutely nothing about it. People prayed, they wept, they expected, hoped, and eventually, they simply were left with having to accept the fact that God was not going to heal Jack's body this side of death, this side of eternity. Now, of course, we all know that Jack is now experiencing life to the absolute fullest, an experience we will all one day also experience for those who know Jesus. Jack Kelly died, leaving behind a wife and children, along with other relatives, along with people who had come to rely on him for answers, clarity in their Christian walk. Is God still good because he took Jack Kelly? Absolutely. And without doubt, God is good. He is nothing less than absolute, pure goodness. I've talked to people, non-Christians, who believe that God is a sadist. They believe that if there is a God, he doesn't care about humanity or anything else. He simply sits in the sky someplace, doing things that mess people's lives up, and he gains a certain amount of enjoyment from it. He loves it. He's on a power trip. Well, we know that these people are, of course, brainwashed. They usually say something like, hey, you know, if that's God, I certainly don't want to be with him in heaven. I'd rather be in hell. I've heard people say that. Maybe you have too. And the enemy of our souls works miracles after a fashion. He gets people to use, quote-unquote, logic to reason themselves right into hell, willingly. They fail to see that God is anything they would even consider good. To these people, God is evil. But they fail to realize that if God is as evil as they say, then they think their false bravado is going to cause them to stand in his presence when they do see him. Look, if God is truly evil, what can they hope to gain? What can anyone hope to gain? We know that these people, should they continue until they reach the door of death and beyond without receiving Christ, are lost. They attribute the characteristics of Satan to God, and they believe they are correct in doing so. But I wonder if we Christians aren't guilty of doing the same type of thing. Are we here in this life for ourselves or for God's glory? Are we placed here in this life to seek our own will or to rise above that in Christ and seek instead God's will? You know, as Christians, are we sometimes too focused on our own needs? And when we don't receive the answer we're looking for, we want to take our ball and go home. We're too willing to almost triple dog dare God into giving us what we want instead of willingly submitting ourselves to his will and his purposes. God has a will and purpose for each individual that complements his will and purposes for everything else in creation. We hear that, but do we actually believe it? We think that becoming a Christian is like joining a secret club where we have an in with, quote unquote, the big man. But is that what it's really like? You know, I am drawn to think of Pastor Saeed, an Arab-American Christian who rots in a prison in Iran. He suffers tortures, beatings, deprivation, and he suffers much more because he is an Arab who was once a Muslim and is now a Christian. He is also an American. His wife went and spoke directly with President Obama and Vice President Biden. They promised that they would do all in their power to get her husband out of Iran's prison and brought home. Well, weeks turned into months. You know the story. Months continue unabated, and now Iran has signed an agreement with the USA regarding their nuclear abilities, limitations, capabilities, etc. One would think that during this process, our government could have gone to bat for the Americans who are being held in Iranian prisons. One would think that this would have been a no-brainer. Well, apparently it wasn't a no-brainer. The deal with Iran was signed with no thought, no discussion, as far as we know, for the release of Americans in Iran's jails. Why couldn't they have been brought home to serve out the remainder of their sentences in American jails if they had done something really wrong? What happened? Was it because not enough Christians prayed for Pastor Saeed's release that he is still there? Is God only able to work when enough Christians pray or act? To think or believe that idea diminishes God's omnipotence and his sovereignty. If Pastor Saeed is still in an Iranian prison, God must have a reason. Is God good because he allows Pastor Saeed to languish in prison? Is God good because Pastor Saeed's wife's heart breaks and their children wonder where their father is? Is God good? You know what? Without doubt, God is good. As difficult as it is for many of us to grasp, I cannot help but wonder how many hardened Muslim lives Pastor Saeed has touched in prison. We will probably never know this side of eternity. How many of those individuals who are also in prison with Pastor Saeed will live with God after they pass through death's door because of the sacrifice that Pastor Saeed and his family are now making? I think of Saul, who became Paul, and how the brutal murder of Stephen must have impacted Saul in such a way that his conversion became unstoppable. It was a guaranteed fact Acts 7 through 9. We look at what we consider to be the ugly things in life and ask how God can allow it. Yet we fail to realize that all these ugly things in life, every single one of them, are due not to God failing somehow, because he never did, but because of humanity failing. We fail to see things from God's perspective. Just as Stephen was used to bring about Saul's conversion, who then became a prolific author of many New Testament epistles, started numerous churches, and spread the gospel near and far, is it possible that Pastor Saeed's life as a Christian will touch someone who will see what Saeed is enduring so that they will turn to God in repentance and they will receive the only salvation that is available under all the heavens? If that's the case, do you think when Saeed gets to heaven, he would take back his time spent in prison? I can't imagine that any more than I can imagine Paul in heaven now, wishing he had not gone through what he went through during his ministry and the preaching of the gospel. Do we think for a moment that God has abandoned Pastor Saeed or other Christians who are being brutally persecuted around the world now for their faith? God forbid that we think that way. Yes, let's continue to pray for God's special purpose for Pastor Saeed, that he will bear up under the persecution that God is allowing to come his way. And should he will it, God will it, that Pastor Saeed would be released and soon to rejoin his family. But tough question. What if that is not God's will for Pastor Saeed, that he is released to join his family? What if that is God's will? What if that is God's decision for Pastor Saeed? God is good all the time. And it doesn't matter whether we can grasp it or even whether we are interested in grasping it. We need to stop thinking we know best. We need to stop pretending that God needs to learn to run things by us when he does things according to his will. We either get with his program or we don't. It's really that simple. God is good. We'll be back next time with part 6. Thanks so much for joining me. And I pray that until we meet again, that God would open your eyes to show you how blessed you are in Him.
You've been listening to Study, Grow, Know with Dr. Fred DeRuvo. Please join us each week for new broadcasts that deal with theology, prophecy, and political issues from a biblical, conservative perspective.